Have you been seeing the news recently? About 3,365 public sector roles have been cut as part of a cost savings drive. If you have been impacted by this, then today's Ask Lawlands episode is for you. Join me as we tackle voluntary redundancies and answer a listener's questions around what benefits and rights do I have in a voluntary redundancy? Hi everyone, welcome back to Lawlands. My name is Sunam and thank you so much for tuning in today. That's right, I am back again with another Ask Lawlands episode. I love these because I love answering people's questions, and this one actually came from someone that I know quite well, and they were asking about what happens if someone is offered a voluntary redundancy. They have noticed a lot happening in the media around this, and you do hear about redundancies, but you rarely hear about voluntary redundancies until these kinds of situations. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then that's absolutely fine, but I will give you a breakdown of what's been happening over the last couple of months. Since about last year, we've seen a lot of public sector jobs stop with recruiting. This year, with the coalition government's budget and announcements, we are very aware that every news outlet has been talking about the fact that the government is looking to save 1.5 billion, that's right, 1.5 billion from government departments. And what that means is cutting costs, because cutting costs is, at the end of the day, redundancies. And public sector agencies such as Oranga Tamariki, as well as the Department of Internal Affairs, Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, Ministry of Primary Industries, all of these departments are looking at cutting hundreds of roles, meaning that they're going to be looking at redundancies and disestablishing many, many roles. But along with that, and along with these hundreds of roles that they are going to look at disestablishing, they have offered voluntary redundancy. Now, last week, we heard about the Ministry of Social Development offering 404 employees the ability to apply for voluntary redundancy. Out of everyone that applied, 200 redundancies were accepted. And some of you may be thinking, what is a voluntary redundancy? Because it doesn't usually come up. And personally, I haven't dealt much with this myself because it isn't something that comes up for a lot of small to medium businesses. This is usually something that applies when you are dealing with a larger company or public sector roles where you've got hundreds, thousands of employees. And when I had someone reach out about this, and like I said, someone that I know, I thought we definitely need to tackle it in an Ask Lawlands segment. So the main questions that this person had was, what benefits and rights do I have in the voluntary redundancy process and as part of a voluntary redundancy? But they also wanted to know, how does the payout work? Which is a fair point. A lot of people don't realize how our severance packages work with redundancies. Another question that they had was, does the company have any obligation to offer you something? So we'll definitely cover all of these, but before we get into it, I just wanted to say, jump over onto my LinkedIn, give me a follow, and definitely subscribe to the podcast. I will be keeping you guys updated. I'm thinking about doing a newsletter, so definitely join the mailing list that I've got listed in the description, because I am thinking to be sending out some of my posts and some information on a weekly basis, but I'd like to put it out there to see if you guys are interested. All right, back to it. So what is a voluntary redundancy? Now, a normal redundancy is where an employer will disestablish a role because they do a workplace change process or a redundancy process. A voluntary redundancy is where the employer gives the employee an option to lose their jobs willingly. They're just turning around and saying, hey, we're giving you the opportunity to take a hit effectively, and we want you to end your employment, but you end your employment with all of these added benefits and extras. It's not something that can be forced, so just keep that in mind. An employee can put their hand up or they cannot. No one can go there and say, you have to take this. It can also impact certain areas of the business rather than the entire business in one go. Just like with any redundancy process, sometimes you'll see a certain area or certain department that will be under fire, whereas other areas wouldn't be. For example, when I say that it could be certain areas of the business, MBIE is not offering voluntary redundancies for frontline workers. And it's more applicable, like I said a bit earlier, to the larger companies because they usually will offer a redundancy package and maybe a bit higher of a package for voluntary redundancy. So voluntary redundancies will have a severance package or a benefit associated with them so that it's a little bit more lucrative for the employee to take, and also making sure that it's not a disadvantage to this employee and you're effectively telling them that you need to resign. But you may be wondering, what is included in a voluntary redundancy? How does the process work? The first thing we need to do is look at a standard redundancy process. So in order to make someone redundant, you will need to go through a workplace change process, which we normally call a redundancy process or a restructure process. Now, restructuring could be just changing roles, slightly moving things around. Redundancies would mean disestablishing a particular role. So what's involved in a standard process? Normally, you would prepare a proposal that sets out your genuine business reason for the restructure. Remember that these restructures, these redundancies, they're a last resort measure. So you need your genuine business reason. You need to really back that up. And if you've done that, then you would provide this to your employees, consult with them about that particular proposal, get their feedback, consider it, and you might need to respond if they've given you some feedback. And then from there, you'd confirm the new structure or redundancy. The way I've said it sounds very simple, I'm sure, but it is a lot more complicated than that in terms of the length of time that a process can take. So where does the voluntary redundancy fit into this model or process? With a voluntary redundancy, the process is generally the same, but where it differs slightly and where a lot of these larger organizations or public sector organizations are making the change is that the employer will explain to potentially impacted employees that redundancy is most likely going to happen for these particular roles. Not necessarily saying that you will 100% be made redundant, but it is a potential that these roles will be made redundant. And because of that, we want to give you a choice to avoid the process and instead take voluntary redundancy. For example, the way that this has been applied, the Ministry of Environment has said to staff, look, from today, you will have an opportunity to submit an expression of interest for voluntary redundancy. And we would like to receive all of these before we do a formal change process and before consultation processes start later on this year. So if you can see, they have introduced this very early on. Where I would say the differentiating factor actually is that firstly, it needs to be really clear that you have a genuine reason. If you want to bring it up earlier, then you need to have a genuine reason. And I think the way that the government has set out their budget announcements and they've got a clear directive that there needs to be cuts to costs, this is what a lot of these public sector organizations can leverage off of. Usually what you're seeing here is that it's been a long time coming. So the Ministry of Environment, for example, started reviewing their model in June 2023, and they were actively taking steps towards a workplace change. They put in recruitment controls, they reduced their leadership cohorts by more than 20%. So what does this mean? Essentially, it means that if you're going to do a voluntary redundancy process as an employer, then it should not be coming out of the blue for your employees. It should be very, very clear that this is something that the business has to consider because there's been either a clear directive, there's been clear financial struggle, the business has tried multiple ways to make the business more viable, but there is no other option there. And this should be a last resort measure. Now, you still need to have a genuine business reason, so keep that in mind. I would suggest to have a business case ready just to make sure that you have something to leverage off of to basically say to the employees that, look, as per this announcement or as per these different efforts that we've tried to make, this is what we're potentially going to be looking at later on in the year. And I do believe the Ministry of Environment did that quite well in saying, look, submit your expression of interest. We're doing this for voluntary redundancies before we're going to most likely need to have a consultation process and a formal proposal at the end of the year. You might be wondering, what happens if an employee doesn't volunteer? You can say express your interest all you like, but at the end of the day, an employee can't be forced, right? So they can either make the decision or not. If these larger organizations have asked for an expression of interest and some employees turn around and they say, no, we don't want to express our interest, we would like to stay, Well, you need to go through a formal redundancy process. And like what the Ministry of Environment has said as well, is that if they do not need any more of these roles and they need to be disestablished, then the organization will need to take a compulsory redundancy or involuntary redundancy, which is just a standard redundancy process. So that means it doesn't negate from the fact that you do need to go through a full-blown process. So this means that if you're an employee, you could be part of the involuntary redundancy group if you choose not to take the voluntary redundancies, or you could be part of the voluntary redundancy group and you wouldn't need to go through the process. So one of the questions that I got asked from this person was, what will the severance package be, or what benefits will I get? In terms of the money, which is what a lot of people say to turn to and have a look at, and it's a fair point, because if you're taking something without really understanding the legalities behind it, then you may be out of pocket. So it's really good to know. New Zealand doesn't actually have a law around redundancy pay requirements. So employers are not obligated to pay a severance package and are only bound to pay the notice period in employment agreements, unless your employment agreement has a redundancy package clause in there. Very common with extremely large organizations where we're talking about thousands of employees. You'll also see it in organizations that are public sector or government. It is very common in that space, and that's why I say for all of my SMEs out there, I know that this might not be as applicable, but it's always good to know. So usually with the larger organization, they will have a benefit built into the employment agreement. It will state in there that there's a payment for voluntary redundancy. For example, it might have that your standard notice period is 4 weeks, and then you get an additional 4 weeks voluntary redundancy payment. And sometimes they may offer a larger payout for those that opt in for voluntary redundancy compared to those that go through a compulsory redundancy. So for example, it might have in there that if you take a voluntary redundancy, you may get 6 weeks. But if you'd have to go through a compulsory redundancy, the company may pay you, but they might pay you for 2 weeks. So if you look at it, sometimes the voluntary redundancy part is the better option to go down, but it is something that you'll have to decide for yourself. That leads me to, why would I, as an employee, take a voluntary redundancy? Why would I put my hand up for this? Well, there's a lot of things that you need to consider. Maybe you're ready to move to a new job anyways, and maybe you just thought, wow, this is the opportune timing. I might as well just move out. I wanted to go into a new role. I wanted to change career paths. This could be a great opportunity for you to do that. There is also still a chance that your role will be disestablished as well. So I want a lot of employees, if you're listening, then you need to keep that in mind. There is a high chance that you may not be able to stay. So why not take the voluntary redundancy instead of panicking and worrying and being stressed out about, will I be made redundant? Will I not? It's always a good option in that case. I read it in an article where somebody had just contributed their thoughts on it from a HR perspective. But redundancies means that things in the workplace will not be the same anymore. And I know that's a hard thing to hear, but it is the reality of these redundancies and these workplace change processes. Some people say that the workplace is sometimes not even the best afterwards and it's not worth staying. Another thing to consider as well is how likely you will be able to find another job. It's important to check the market to see what opportunities you have out there. And if I could say one thing to any employees that are listening, if you know that there will be these redundancies, and we're talking these mass redundancies, then this is something that's detailed in your employment agreement. And I would suggest for you to just check it and see if that's something that you want to take. And you can even volunteer and ask yourself without being given the option, if it's something detailed in your employment agreement. Now, why would an employer offer a voluntary redundancy? These are for all of my employers, HR professionals out there that are thinking, why would anybody do this? This seems like it's worse off for the employer. Look, it's going to be a stressful time. As an employer, you may have that genuine business reason, but you want to make sure that you are doing this as quick as possible. That's not to, again, negate from the fact that this needs to be all done well and done correctly and in accordance with the legislation. But you may be thinking, look, it's stressful. I don't want to send everyone into a frenzy. There are hundreds of employees that we're going to need to meet with. Rather than going through a full-blown process and making the decision out of hundreds on who to keep, this could be the option for you. Well, that's it for me, everyone. Thank you so much. And definitely make sure that you jump over on LinkedIn, give me a follow so that you can follow all of these tips and tricks and insights on a regular basis. And they are different from the podcast. Also, please make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. Well, thank you so much, everyone. I hope you have a lovely day, night, evening, morning, whatever it may be. And guess what? I'll catch you in the next one, everyone.